This is the story of the one. Who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
That's the hard question that we have. It's like, I want to do something I'm passionate about, but I could continue to do this, you know, and then obviously once one kid's in school, continue for a couple more till the second kid's in school. Mm-hmm. And then we could maybe have enough saved up that I don't really need to worry much at all about what I'm doing otherwise.
Hello, and welcome to Financials Podcast, Future Rich. I'm your host, Barbara Ginty, and I'm also a CFP, and I am here with my guest today, Jane. Hi, Jane.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
Would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself? Age, location, job.
Yeah, so I'm 38 and I'm married and I live in the Raleigh area in North Carolina.
Oh, nice.
And I work in sales, as does my husband.
Oh, perfect. I do have a spreadsheet here, but
yeah.
as we know, I love a good spreadsheet. So, but would you like to tell our listeners about what you make and about what your husband makes?
Yeah, so my base is about $100,000, and I think my husband's is around $120,000, and we both have bonuses that we get based on our sales.
Okay.
Mine has been very different recently, the past few years, but usually around $20,000 a year is mine, and his, they keep changing. He's only been in his company a few years, so
okay.
Not sure about his. We kind of just take those as they come. We
okay.
don't really rely on them much.
And your bonus is variable, you would say?
Yeah, both of them are variable. I would say mine is usually around a $5,000 to $6,000 a quarter, but
okay.
it could be less or usually about that. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. And do you have kids?
Yes, we have a 1-year-old and 3-year-old.
Oh, nice. So, should we start with your spreadsheet? Or do
sure.
you want to start with your questions? What do you...
So, I've been thinking about maybe changing careers at some mm-hmm. point, potentially when the kids are in school, maybe when the first one goes to school. Not really sure, but because of that, I think that I'll obviously be... My salary will be changing. I may be starting a business. I may be doing something that's more commission based and not with the base. So just okay. trying to prepare for that and see if that's possible.
Sure, absolutely. And so I would imagine we'll look at this in the spreadsheet, but I would imagine that expenses will be better when the kids are in school.
I hope so. A lot of people tend to say that that daycare expense just goes somewhere else, but I can't imagine that we're very lucky that our daycare expenses, we have somebody in the neighborhood. So it's a lot less than most people in our area are paying each month for two kids, but it is still $1,800 a month. So it's still a lot of money.
Yeah, it's still a lot of money. It's like a mortgage payment.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll run through what we have here on the spreadsheet for our listeners. So you're both in sales in Raleigh, North Carolina, and so your biweekly gross for your pay is $3,850, and your husband's is $4,700.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have expenses Let's see. Okay. So we have your HSA, dental, medical, you have car use. Is that a reimbursement for the car?
I actually have a company car, so it
Got it.
has everything's covered by my company. They just have to charge me for that. So the gas, I have a
Got it.
gas card and
Yeah.
all of that. So yeah, they
Okay.
just charge me like 150 a month.
Okay, perfect. So then our monthly between the two net is 7,400.
Correct. I have access to that mega backdoor Roth through my company. So I do a lot of post-tax contributions.
Perfect.
So that's
We'll
why
talk about that.
mine looks,
Different.
yeah.
Okay, perfect. And then so for, and we'll get into that, but let's go down. So we have expenses. So we have a mortgage at $1,849, utility at 460, phone at 85, car insurance at 90, car payments at 587, doctor bills at 200, daycare, which actually is right around where your mortgage is at 1800. And that's for both kids. Okay. And then a car fund of 250. So your total expenses come to $5,321, and then you have approximately a little over 2,000 left over each month, which is
Yeah, but we don't really have, since Mint like is no longer available,
oh yeah, I heard about that.
we used to be like, I was a lot more strict with my budget when I was single, but now we kind of just, we don't do a specific amount for groceries or anything. We kind of just like, okay, that $2,000 is left over is what we have for everything else.
Everything else. So you just live on, and that's all your variable expenses, we'll say. So groceries, dining out. Okay, perfect.
Correct.
I also really like to see this, and I haven't seen this in a while on the podcast, but I have other income, rental one, rental two. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, so I graduated college in the end of 2008, and I had a lot of student debt, $75,000. Well, 60,000 for undergrad, and then I worked through grad school, so
Wow.
75,000 total. And I'm very impulsive, and so I got this decision that like the only way I would ever be able to pay it off is if like I bought a house and had roommates. So I bought a townhouse in 2010
Okay.
and had roommates for like 6.5, 7 years. And they mostly cover my mortgage. And then I use that money to basically pay off my student loans. So
Amazing.
I got my student loans mostly paid off by the time I was like 31. So I kept that house and then I bought another house with like 0% down through something at a local bank.
Okay.
And so kept renting that one out. And then my husband, I was trying to get him to do the same before we got married. Yeah, and he actually found, I mean, the Raleigh market has been insane.
Yes.
Our mortgage is just really low because luckily we are able to put like 50% down based on our previous sale. Otherwise, we wouldn't. There's like, it's insane the cost of housing has gone up here just from a lot of people moving here for jobs.
Yeah, a lot of companies have moved there.
Yeah. So, because of that, we couldn't really find a rental for him, but I really wanted him to buy something in this area when he moved here. He lived like an hour away before we got married, and he actually
Okay.
was able to buy a place from a coworker of mine off market.
Wow.
Yeah. So he lived there for like a year, and now we have that as a rental too.
Okay, perfect. So you have the two rentals. And then they're bringing in, so is that the profit on them? So after you pay expenses
I
or?
mean, that's after we basically just pay the mortgage and HOAs. We don't have a lot of expenses. I understand there are expenses, so this isn't like a pure number, but we kind of just, because the expenses are not very high, we kind of just take care of them when they come in. So I
Got
don't,
it.
obviously, with our taxes, we look at the total expenses and submit everything, but we don't really set aside a certain amount because we have enough buffer that we don't really, if
Yeah,
that
that's
makes sense.
fantastic. Yeah, that does make sense. Okay, so between the two rental properties that you have, you're bringing in another 1400. And so then if we add that to what's left over after your fixed expenses on your primary residence and those expenses, you have like 30, almost 3,500 left over monthly with the income. So
Yes,
you
and
just pay
you
for stuff like as needed.
well you yeah, so usually we don't really look at that other much of income. That $900 I usually try to like put into my Roth account, or for
Oh,
a long
perfect.
time I was just like paying down extra of the principal on the rental for mine. Okay. So we usually, unless something comes up, we don't really use that money as income, I would say. We just
As
try to
income.
invest it or save it. My husband's been saving his in a separate account, but everything else we have is joint. That we kind of just like save or do, don't really use it towards our other stuff.
Okay, perfect. And you've done a great job. So the only debts you have are the mortgages.
And the car.
Okay. And the car. Okay.
Yep.
Right, because you have the car payment. And then, so for savings, for your 401k, you have 395,000. Your Roth IRA, you have 200,000. And that is through your Roth IRA, you're doing through the 401k as a make it back to your
Yes.
Roth. Okay.
Yes. And then I try to also get the $7,000 in a year, but I don't always get that.
Okay, doing a Roth contribution as
Yes,
well.
yes. Yes, I
Okay,
always
so
try to.
with the so w when I'm looking at the 401k number, the 395, is that both pre-tax and Roth, or are you rolling the Roth monies out into the Roth IRA?
Yes, so I'm rolling the
You're
I do
rolling
like
them.
4 times a year because I can't do it
Year.
automatically. Yeah, so
Okay,
I roll
perfect.
them over like yeah, so that's yeah, mostly just put my pre-tax in the 401k. The
Okay,
rollovers then
perfect.
happen. Yep.
And then the rollover. And so with the make it back to a Roth, what you're doing is you're maxing out your pre-tax amount. Let's see how much money I
Yes.
made.
So I
Okay.
do my $23,000 towards my 401k.
Yep.
And then my company does a 7% match, and
Amazing.
then I do like 40. Like I've lost access to the mega backdoor post-tax contributions for a while because of my income and the I forget what it's called, but where they make sure that everybody's contributing equally in the company.
Yes, the testing for the 401k. Yeah,
So
because
I
they have to
actually.
do ADP and ACP testing to see if it's top
Yeah,
heavy.
so I lost that for like a year and a half, but I got it
Okay.
back in like April of this year. So I knew that it was going to be coming back. So I kind of like front loaded my pre-tax
Yep.
because they don't limit that. And then I
Right.
like backed off. So my numbers are a little weird right now, just
Right,
my
because I'm showing
percentage
you're
wise.
doing about 1500.
Yeah, my 1500 is my after
This makes
tax.
my heart happy. I love saving for retirement. Okay, so you're how much you then total? Because I know this is a little wonky. You're not, are you doing 3,000 all year? Because it's this is bi-weekly.
Yeah, so this is bi-weekly. So this is basically every paycheck. So I would basically be doing $3,000 a month into the after-tax account.
Okay.
And then I guess these numbers don't really matter for the pre-tax. Like I'm gonna just hit the 23,000 because I've
Yeah,
been
and then you'll be
adjusting.
done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But it
So
should
your tar
mostly like end up like right there at 23,000 at the end of the year.
Okay, and then is your target around 36,000 into the Roth for the make up backdoor, or are you
I'm
gonna?
trying to think. Yeah, I tried to get right at that 69,000 or whatever the max
Yeah,
is,
okay.
but I don't think I'm going to this year just because I didn't have the ability until.
Till April. Yeah, okay. So you're gonna put so the limit for the overall defined contribution plans is 69,000. That's total dollars allowed. And then your pre-tax limit is the 23,000 because you're under 50, and then you can fill it, and then you have your employee match, employer match, which is great, and then you can do the post-tax. So you do post-tax, and then you don't leave it, you don't convert it inside of your plan into the Roth 401k, you just roll it out into your.
Correct. Actually, I just talked to Fidelity earlier this week and somebody convinced me to do that when I've never done that. And then after I got off the call, I noticed that the person I was speaking to was kind of wrong, thinking that it was going to be the same thing as what I've been doing. So I'm kind of waiting for that process to be fixed.
Okay, and you're not withholding any taxes or anything. You're just converting
No,
the entire
correct.
post tax is not being invested. It's just immediately being converted.
Yeah, so it's invested until I do that conversion, like once a quarter. So
And then
sometimes there
what do
is a little
you,
bit of growth.
yeah, there can be a little bit of growth. You
So sometimes there are some tax ramifications, but usually it's not that much because I do it kind of often.
it frequently. Okay, yeah, because that's just the one thing you have to be wary of. If it moves up and
Yeah.
you, if you had done, let's, we'll just use $10,000 and now it grew and it's $11,000 and
Yep.
you 10,000 is not taxable, 1,000 is taxable. Okay. But yeah, sometimes with the plans you can do it internally. It just can be converted into the Roth in the plan, but either way you do it is fine. So if you
Yeah,
have
this.
your system down, that's fine.
Yeah, she tried to wanted me to do it to the Roth 401k and told me it would accomplish the same thing I was looking for, but I'm not really sure that that's the case.
It's still Roth monies, so it still would go tax deferred. You then have to, in your 401k, you would track your pre-tax monies and your Roth monies, and they'd be segmented out. So you can do it inside of the whole 401k plan. The difference really comes farther down the line, which is Roth 401ks will have a required minimum distribution on them. And as of right now, the Roth IRA doesn't have a required minimum distribution. So at some point, you would probably want to make it a Roth IRA down the line to avoid a required minimum distribution, should the rules not change. That being said, it's very possible the rules change and they also have RMDs. But as of now, Roth IRAs don't have RMDs. Roth 401ks do have RMDs.
My main reason that I didn't want to really do it the way she was saying is that we're planning to maybe take some of those contributions before 59 and a half, and I think we can't if they're in the Roth 401k.
Yes, the four, yeah, exactly. Just like with the RMD, there are different rules with a 401k than there are with a Roth IRA, but they can always be moved. So, I think that's fine that to do it that way. So, and so you're planning on taking the Roth IRAs because the Roth IRA has the other rules like for distributions that you can take out. So you're planning on take using it for something?
Neither of us really want to work till 60, so we're planning on using some of the money. Basically, we'll probably work part time at some point and then not work till 60. So we're planning on taking out some of those contributions because I know we can't take the growth until that. But yeah, so we're planning on at some point needing money from the brokerage account and then the Roth accounts before 60.
Okay, perfect. Just going to throw this out there that you can distribute from the 401k monies or pre-tax monies before 59 and a half and avoid the 10% penalty using a 72T. Yeah, you can take substantially equal periodic payments and avoid it because some people do retire before 59 and a half. So you can take retirement monies earlier. They're just a specific way to do it to avoid the 10% penalty.
Yeah, I've heard about that. I just don't know. Locking down a certain amount is probably, I don't know. Seems weird to me. I mean, we obviously have to lock down amount for budget, but then, like, I don't know, locking down
So
an
just
amount.
yeah, amount that you want to take out monthly. So just keep that in mind though. People think that it's like not accessible at all. It is, but there is a structure in which you need to take the money. Okay, so we have your 401k at 395,000, your Roth at 200,000, your
Sorry, that's
HSA.
HSA.
Okay, I was like HAS. Okay. That's at 35,000, and then your high yield savings account at 17,000. Your husband's traditional IRA is at 328,000. His 401k is at 87,000. His Roth IRA is at 66,000, and his brokerage account is at 21,000. And so you have a
I
total
think it's
save.
210 in the brokerage. Sorry, I didn't do.
No, that's okay.
It's
Only got a
very
zero.
hard to read without the commas.
Yeah, I was like, maybe. So hopefully that does that change. It doesn't actually change your number on the bottom. So okay, the brokerage account is 210,000, and then your total combined assets is 1,150,000 round numbers. Fantastic. That's great. Okay, so then talk me through. So you're obviously you have a great budget. You own three properties between the two of you. So you're maxing out your pre-tax option. You're doing your mega backdoor Roth, which not everyone has optionality for. And so I loved when people take advantage of it when they have access to it, if it works and it works for you guys. Yeah, you're in a great spot. But you're thinking of switching up career-wise is the hope.
So when I was younger, I kind of like always had this idea that like 40 was going to be when I could do something different or not rely. And so, I mean, luckily, I mean, if I didn't find my husband, I don't want to, it's weird saying this, but like I wouldn't have been able to save this much, obviously. Without dual income. So that actually, I guess, has helped this along because we don't need fully all both of our incomes. So it's definitely like a very obviously privileged place to be in. I know a lot of people, it's very difficult right now with cost of everything.
Yeah, no, but I think you've also, I wouldn't discount the fact that you've made really good decisions. and you've saved and budgeted. So yeah, I agree that things can be fast tracked with two incomes if you're both diligent about budgeting and saving, which you both have been.
So a few things like, so where you see like this medical, sorry, the medical on there is just the insurance for me and the kids are on through my company, but it's a very high deductible account. So we have some, I don't know if I had it on here. So I'm paying like $200 towards doctor bills a month, but that is basically we were just going to pay off after the kids were born and some other medical stuff. We were we had the money set aside to just pay off the bills. But then they actually offered us like a couple, like 3 years of no interest payments. And I was like,
oh,
because I guess a lot of people just don't or can't pay medical bills. So they're like, oh, do you want to just pay it 3 years? And I'm like, oh, no interest. I'm like, oh, great. Okay, I'll just keep my money.
Yeah, so that's
something to, that's something to note. Like, we max out our HSA. I do it all in my, through my work. I max out the family HSA for us. But we try not, we don't really touch that money. So if we have, our medical expenses can be high because we have obviously a high deductible, but we try not to touch any of that money. So that's why we have those $200 a month, because they're just, it's zero interest. We're like, okay, that's better than just, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I have, I kind of like can't figure out exactly what I should do. I want to kind of pay some extra on our mortgage because it has a 5-year adjustable arm. But it's only every five. It's not like, it's different than normal 5-year arms. It's can only adjust every 5 years, not like every, I don't know what I'm explaining it right. But yeah, it's only once every 5 years.
Years. Yep. And so what, when is your next rate adjust or potential rate adjustment?
Yeah. So we bought this house in 2022. So I think it'll be 2027. And then because of my, my rental actually has the same thing. They're actually both at the exact same rate. So I've been, I was taking that income I was making from them each month and paying down and for a while. And then I was like, cause I wanted basically when it goes to do the rate adjustment, it also adjusts the payment based on like if you paid extra off.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, my plan was I want this mortgage to be low enough that I'm bringing in more income to cover our mortgage by the time it does the second adjustment. Cause the next adjustment on that one, I think will be in 2025. Oh, like only a year away.
Okay.
And so, I was thinking, okay, that'll adjust it low and then we'll bring in enough income to basically cover our mortgage or close to from our rentals.
Okay.
But I started thinking about it. I was like, well, it doesn't really make sense to pay more off on the rental because the more income we're bringing in, the more we're getting taxed on that income, even with the deductions. And it's at the same rate as our primary, which is also on the 5-year thing. But we just thought it was like the best option because they're both at 3.75 and the rates were higher than that, you know, 2 years ago when we bought. And the most that it can go up is 2 percentage points at that 5-year mark. So we're like, even that first time, even if it goes up the whole we've still been getting 5 years less than what the rates were at when we bought.
Yeah. And then even if it goes up to 5.75, it's still lower than what it would be now anyway.
Exactly. Exactly. And I've actually had that same arm on my rental since I bought it in 2010. I think I refinanced in 2015 to that.
Okay.
So I've had that for, I mean, luckily it's never gone. It actually went down a few times in the beginning. But yeah, so now it's, you know, obviously this time it might go up some, with the next adjustment in 2025 for that one. And then I guess 27 for our primary, but I was just trying to think of like, should I be trying to take some of this extra money and putting it towards paying some down on our primary, because obviously that rate can adjust.
But that will also adjust with 2 percentage points. So it would go to 5.75, right?
So I've never really looked at like how much of a difference that's going to make in the payment.
I think so that's what I would do. And also like how long do you have left on that? It was a 5-year arm, but what's the total term?
Is it 25? They're both 30 years. Okay. Yeah. So I don't, obviously, like, there's no reason for us to pay off the rental early, really.
No, not with a
So,
rental, not with it generating income, because you need expenses to offset the income. So I wouldn't pay off the rental early. The only one that would be, I think, that would make sense to pay off early would be the primary. But also, your children are 1 and 3, and we have another mortgage payment with daycare. And yes, kids are expensive, so will that whole 1800 go back in your budget? Probably not. But you will have less expenses when they go to school.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should at least be simple. That's why for the last 3 years, I've been drinking AG1 every day with no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day, and it makes me feel ready to take on my day. That's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. With AG1, I know I'm getting essential brain, gut, and immune health support with vitamins, probiotics, and nutrients from whole foods. I like to think of it as my nutritional insurance. I know I'm covering my nutritional bases from the very start of the day. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1, and that's why I've partnered with them for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/futurerich. That's drinkag1.com/futurerich. Check it out. I think a bigger factor for me would be what are you mentioned maybe doing something different career-wise. I think that would impact what you would do with the extra money more. Like maybe do you keep saving more? Maybe do you put more in a brokerage account to I want to hear what you're thinking. I think that would impact the decision more.
So my thought process is kind of like I don't have a desire to be a stay-at-home mom. I love my children, but I just can't do that. So my thought process was that when my daughter starts school in a couple years, we'll be ch changing my son to stay full time at a church, and that's only right now 800 a month for his age group. So even if it goes up, maybe 900 a month. You know, they don't raise their prices, but so that's super inexpensive for 9 to 5. So I was kind of looking at it from an aspect of like hypothetically, if we, you know, our expenses are combined, but hypothetically, my income right now each month is pretty much going just to cover daycare. So if and our mortgage is the same. So if we're bringing enough rental income in a few years to cover, you know, the mortgage, and that takes out like $1,800 out of our budget from that, and then I can just do something and at least cover daycare, then we'll pretty much be in the same spot that we're in now with me working the same job.
Yeah, no, I like the logic. You won't be able to, even though you're covering
Save so much.
you're not going to be able to save so much because you do have very comparable income. It's just that you are putting a ton towards retirement, which I love. You're putting like 50-ish thousand away a year towards retirement.
And then with the HSA, we're kind of like using that for retirement too. But so I think that's like the kind of hard, that's the hard question that we have. It's like, I want to do something I'm passionate about, but I could continue to do this, you know, and then obviously once one kid's in school, continue for a couple more till the second kid's in school. And then we could maybe have enough saved up that I don't really need to worry much at all about what I'm doing otherwise.
Yeah. And I would say if you keep saving this amount, you'll have, by the time you're 40, you'll have so much saved for retirement that it would be more about doing something that you like and bringing in maybe a little bit. I mean, you have the rental income. So as you said, once the daycare cost goes away, you have the rental income. If you brought in some money, that would be great. You I don't think at that point you would need to be saving for retirement, as long as you leave the retirement alone and your husband's still saving for retirement, that I think that would be fine. You don't have high expenses.
Yeah, I feel like it just because how my budget used to be when I was younger and it was only me. And I was just like, I just can't, it just like blows my mind. Obviously, cost of things are going up. But when I'm like, how are we spending like $2,000 in a 2-week period? Because we get paid biweekly now. It used to be twice a month. And we're just like, how are we spending this much? But then you just like look at the bank. It's just crazy. So that's another thing I kind of want to get under control, that we're kind of at the point now where we just like don't really think about like the, you know, I'll look at the account and it's like, look at what the bank account's at. We spend so much money, you know. So we like canceled our Amazon Prime because we just felt like it was cluttering up with too much with the kids and like stopped the Target drive up orders so much. But it's still just like, why are we spending so much money? Like, how can we make this less? But then I also look at it from like, but do we really need to make this less because we're saving so much?
So I think, here's what I think. I think as you make more money and you have a reasonable budget for a family of four, you don't have to worry about the Target or the Amazon Prime because you've prioritized your retirement and your investing first. And so whatever's left over is literally left over. How you spend it, whether it's at a restaurant or more Amazon Prime, doesn't really matter because you're hitting your savings goals and you don't have any real debt besides one car payment and the investment properties and your mortgage, which is all good debt. I think the idea to get a handle on what you're spending would be more important if you decide to stop working down the line. Like to say, because at this point, you're right, it doesn't really make a big difference if you have an extra Amazon Prime order or, you know, it's a drop in the bucket. But as you make more money, it is harder to get a handle on the budget, which is why I'm doing this budget challenge for August, because it's very easy when you're a single person and it's just you, you know, to be like, okay, this is all I need for the month. And then it gets more complicated as life gets more complicated. And so what I would say is, I think that if you continue to save this amount for retirement, you already have, you then own three properties, primary and two investment properties. I do think you could take a step back and do a career pivot, and you could bring in significantly less money and still be totally fine because you front load it, you paid down all your student loan debt, you front load it your retirement from the standpoint you're putting just you over $50,000 a year towards retirement. And you would then not have the daycare cost, or it incrementally goes down, right? So it'll be about half and then maybe step down to nothing. I think you could absolutely do that. But it comes down to like, what do you want to have that would be comfortable to live on? And that would be kind of the target I would strive for.
Yeah, that's why I, you know, my husband obviously wants to leave his job at some point too, but he's like, why would you leave what you're doing now to when you could just like suck it up for four more years instead of two? And then maybe we'll be at the point where like neither of us have to worry about it. But I also really like want to follow my passions at some point, but I'm trying to like convince myself like, okay, I want to, but like, it's not that far away.
It's not that far away. 2 years will go very quickly. 4 years also will go quickly, as you know. The one issue with both of you, like stepping back and maybe just like living on rental income, is health insurance.
So that's another thing we're also concerned about. So we're trying to follow the ACA, you know, stuff, I think is changing on that with like being able to, like, if you're under certain incomes, being able to get subsidies. I'm sure we're like following that to see how that pans out.
Okay.
I actually have some healthcare options myself for me and the kids that my husband wouldn't really have access to. They're okay. pretty inexpensive. They're just not very good options for where we live. So,
okay.
So yeah, we do, and that's the healthcare is another thing that we're like kind of concerned about. But whenever I try to talk to somebody, you know, I'm talking to all the people at Fidelity, everybody's just like, yeah, that's a concern, but they don't really have any information on anything. So I read a lot about that online, but I think there's maybe something is supposed to change or might change next year with it.
And it's state dependent. So
yeah.
Like, I know what our options are here in New York, mm-hmm. and there are some really good options depending on income level
yeah.
and dependent. So depending on where your income falls and how many dependents you have, which children on the dependents, mm-hmm. there are some more affordable options, but that is a really big number
yeah.
to think about, right? And what the coverage would be, or like, would it be worth someone keeping their job or someone keeping a part-time job with health benefits?
Yeah.
Those are the things that you have to just weigh out. And it's very state dependent of like, what yeah. would it cost? And like, what are those threats? Cause then you have to be mindful of the threshold. So
yeah.
if you went to do that and the threshold for a family of four is 80,000, then you really need to keep your income under 80, because the way
yeah.
these thresholds work is if you're at $80,001, you lose it completely. It's not proportional. They're not like, oh, you're $1 over. Mm-hmm. we're going to cover 80% of health. It's like you lose all
yeah.
healthcare access. So those are the numbers. And it is state specific. So I'm just not familiar with your state. But to me, planning that, the healthcare would be the number one thing to look at and to see mm-hmm. where would the income need to be and what are the coverage options for the income. And then how does it work with the dependents, right? And like mm-hmm. how long are they dependents in your state? Is it 18? Is it 21? Is it 26? Because
yeah.
that varies as well.
Okay. I didn't know that changed. That varied. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Like, how long would they be considered dependent on the health insurance?
Mm-hmm.
Like, some New York State health insurance plans, I think you can do up to 26.
Yeah.
So you just want to look at that aspect of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, if 2 years makes a really big difference, and for you it would, like, in 2 years' time, you'd save another $100,000.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So what I always encourage people to do is think about it from the standpoint of like, what would another $100,000 do? So in 2 years' time, you'd be 42 instead of 40, right?
Yeah. So additional 2 years. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So at 42, another $100,000, we'll just use rough numbers, saved, works out for your retirement. If we took that out to 62, that would work out to be another $400,000 for retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're using
yeah.
compounding interest of 7.2.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like a big difference for your
mm-hmm.
retirement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And our original number, like, we were like, okay, we want to have 1.5 million. And then my husband's like, okay, maybe it needs to be two. But it's just like kind of like arbitrary, like saying like, okay, if our expenses go up and this costs us much more. And I think that's like the hard thing right now is like, okay, I want to follow my passion, but then getting back to a job where I have to travel some, but I'm working from home mostly, and it's flexible with my kids if they need something, you know. So just trying to weigh that, but like, it's not that bad.
Right. And so like, what would the job be that you're passionate about? Like, or what would the role be that you're passionate about?
So I want to do something either in real estate or like teaching young kids about finances that just would never get those opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously both of those things I can do now. I am doing that some now with our rentals and doing some stuff with real estate, but I would like to be able to do those more so as my full time, or
mm-hmm.
maybe not completely.
So I agree. I would start to dabble in it now and see
mm-hmm.
what you like and what it would be like. I do think that the other way to look at it is you could do it as an experiment. So maybe if you
mm-hmm.
wait till 42 and you've basically secured your permanent old age retirement,
mm-hmm.
say I'm going to take 2 years off. Your husband stays working with the health benefits and you see how it goes. You might find that maybe it's not what you thought it was, or you might find that you really do like it and you have a better idea. So you don't also have to think of it as like a permanent, I'm going to do this and I'm never going back into sales. I'm never going back to corporate America. You could give it a whirl.
Yep.
And see how it goes. The real estate you already, I mean, honestly, the real estate paired with financial literacy, because financial literacy doesn't really pay very well. Speaking from speaking from experience. But the real estate you can do quite well, and you're already in real estate.
I think the financial literacy stuff would probably be more so like volunteering, like stuff, not really like bringing in income. Because it would just be like with younger kids and stuff. So it's not like I would be trying to, you know, just teach them life skills.
So if you could do both, but I guess I would encourage you to stay the extra 2 years, because at your age, that could work out to be between like $400,000 and $500,000 more in retirement. And then I would think of it more as like a sabbatical to see what it is you want to do. What does that look like? And what kind of income do you need to bring in? Or maybe you go full force into the real estate. At that point, then you don't really have to worry about saving for retirement. You know?
Yeah.
So you could, and not that if you decided to do more with real estate, that would definitely bring in money. And then I would think about the financial literacy as more, as you said, like volunteer work on the side.
Yep.
Either way, you're in a great spot. So like, I love retirement. And so you're saving so much for retirement. I do think 2 more years would make a difference long term. But, and I also do think it will go fast. Also at that point, then in 4 more years, your kids are a little bit older. And so they're both in school, I would think. So then that gives you more flexibility too, right? I would think in terms of exploring real estate and other positions because they're in school. So yeah, I would encourage the 2 more years, but that being said, you've done a great job. And so you've given yourself a lot of optionality with where you are and the fact that you're really not relying on both incomes.
Yeah. And then one other thing is I really want to make sure that my kids' 529s have that $35,000 in them that they can convert to a Roth. But we also, you know, obviously those rental properties are going to be paid off by that point. So we are also thinking at that point, we probably, you know, we'll be, when our kids go to college, we'll be close to retirement age. So I probably won't need all that income. So that could also go to them for those expenses. So I'm trying to have that balance of like, okay, I want to get money into the 529 for them, which we do. And we do for our nieces and nephews for their birthdays instead of gifts. But I'm also like, okay, I want to focus on that and set up monthly payments for that so that it'll get to that $35,000 mark for each of them. But I also know that we're going to have the rentals that they're going to inherit from us, you know, and that's going to be tax-free that they could just sell if they wanted, you know, when we're not around.
Also, you could, at that point, when they get closer to college, so in 20 years' time, some of those mortgages will be paid down significantly. You can remortgage the property.
Pull
out cash.
I didn't even think about doing, like, I think they're definitely like be paid off at that point. So it's like,
so you just remortgage it and you could pull out a lump sum for college for each of them.
So I don't know if there's like really much concern about us, you know, obviously paying for college is something I want to do, or helping out significantly because I didn't have that. But I also am like, should I focus on getting that money in the HSA so they have that money that can go in their Roth, or do I not really need to care about that much because we're older when we have them and that we know that we're going to leave one rental property each of them. So there's going to be assets there. So we really don't need to worry about the $35,000 in Roth because there's going to be way more than that from the properties. I don't know.
I don't think you need to worry about it.
Okay.
It seems like, okay, so that's like, to me, like that's more of a future problem. You have enough assets, right?
Yeah.
And those mortgages will be paid off by the time they go to college. And you could just remortgage each property and pull out a lump sum to pay for college. The 529 is great. And I absolutely love that they changed the regulations on it. Now up to $35,000, they convert it to the Roth for the child. I think that you could, primary concern is what are you going to do with your career in the near term? And knowing that at any point, basically in 18 years, you could fund the 529. at any point. That you have a long time, and it seems like that's like more of a future problem, and the more immediate concern is like figuring out what you're going to do with your career path and like how much longer are you going to stay. I would say that if you feel very strong about the 529, that would be one more reason to stay in your career for 4 years versus 2 years, because you could, instead of doing, you know, 50,000 maxing out the healthcare as well, you could take 2,000 each year and put it in the 529, right? And you could put some in the 529 and let that grow for 20 years. And then that could be converted to the Roth. Doesn't need to be the full 35. You could still do 10 and 10 for a child. And then by the time they get to college age, it would be 20. The 20 could be converted to the Roth for each of them. They still have the rental properties. So your job cash flows a lot. So it gives you a lot of optionality. So that would be another thing you could do, is say, maybe I'm going to tone down the Roth because I feel very strongly about the 529 and with the conversion feature. I'm going to do a little bit of the money each year into that for the next 4 years. Then we're done. That cooks for the remainder. Right. So I think that's just another reason to keep the cash flow with the job.
Okay.
Is you could you could check off another box there.
Yeah. And then the only other thing I was just like, I think we're okay on, but, we each both just have like a $500,000
life insurance
policy. Each of us, we each have one through our work, you know, which is like 1 year work salary. We have one through our work, which is just, you know, our yearly salary. And then we have a separate one each of us for $500,000.
Okay.
But we thought that was plenty, because if something happens to both of us, there's going to be so many assets to take care of the kids. Like there's a lot of equity in between our house. We probably have almost $800,000 in equity between our house and then the two rentals. So if something happened to us, there's plenty of, you know, to take care of the kids both. But then if something happened to one of us, we just wanted to have enough money that it would pay off the mortgage. So that's something we wouldn't have. And it's, I think we have only owe like $280. So there'd be plenty and then extra to just fund. So but we only did those policies for 5 years. We basically opened them right before my daughter was born. So I guess they probably only have 2 years left on them.
Are they term policies?
I don't really, I guess it just has like a 5 year, they're only good for 5 years for $500,000.
Okay. So how do you pick 5 years?
We basically picked the 5 year number because that's when we thought that we were going to have enough assets saved up.
Got it.
That as long as we could pay off the mortgage, the other person would be fine.
Okay.
So that's we picked 5 years because that was kind of like what our like goal was going to be for not full-time work. So we were like, okay, if we do 5 years and then something happens to us in those 5 years, we have enough money to pay off the mortgage so that the spouse that's left doesn't have to worry about the mortgage.
Right.
And then they can keep going about like normal.
So I agree. So by the time, so you basically got the term insurance to cover the mortgage. So
pretty much, yeah.
Okay. So by the time those expire, the mortgage, it'll cover the mortgage. We all actually have a little bit of gap, right? So when they expire in 3 years.
I think I think we got it right before my daughter was born. So sorry. Okay. I think there's only 2 years left. We did get they did send us an option to keep having those to pay for longer, but I don't know. I don't remember I think it was to extend it another 5 years, but I think our thoughts when we got it were like thinking that we're going to have enough saved up at that point that if something happened to one of us, it wouldn't be that much of
a problem.
Yeah.
So here's what I would do if I were in your shoes. I would look at a term policy, a level term policy for another $500,000 for 10 years and see what the price is. You can always cancel. Always cancel it. And so what you could do is see what the price is. You're 38 years old. You're young. So 10 years brings you to 48. You could always look at a 10-year policy for 500 and then see what the price is. And you could always cancel the one you currently have and just keep that one. And you can always get rid of it. But if you look at one for 10 years, you could decide if you want to keep it or you don't want to keep it without having to do an underwriting exam again. I would look at them and just see what the price looks like and then see if you'd want to keep it for 10 years. I will say if you lose a spouse young, it is very traumatic.
Yes.
The idea that maybe or you could even look for 250 for 10 years just to have something extra. Because if you leave your jobs or if you got let go from your jobs, you don't have that at all. Mm-hmm. Right. And so if you leave your job, there would be potentially no insurance in 3 years, which I don't know. I feel like you don't need it really in theory, but I do think it would be extra pressure on your husband. And if anything happened to your husband, you would at least get the work insurance, which is something, which is 100, but then you would have to go back to work.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
If you had stopped working, if you do 2 years instead of four and he passed away, you would have to go back to work. So I would probably look to have a longer policy.
Yeah, I think it's more of the policies, which is I don't think is normal for most people, is that it's more of a protection for me or him and not really the kids, because it's like if something happened to both of us, there's enough assets
there's
and money
enough
there
for the
that
kids.
They're fine. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. It's more a protection for each other.
Yeah.
More you. If you stop working and we're relying on his income, and God forbid he passed away, you definitively have to go back. And if you've been out of the workforce for 5 years, it's not as easy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would look online for like, you run the numbers. It's really usually pretty cheap to do a level term policy for 10 or 20 years.
I think right now we're paying like $70 a month, and that's both of ours together.
Both of yours.
So pretty cheap.
Yeah, it's really cheap. So even if it went up to like 130, but you had more coverage for a longer period of time.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, once you get it, I would get it for a longer period than you think you need. You could always cancel it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like just because you buy it for 10 years or 20 years doesn't mean you have to keep it the whole time.
Okay. Do you think I should? I think they sent us something about like extending what we have. Is that a thing?
Yeah. So you can see what the term is. You want to make sure you're getting the cheapest insurance possible, which is term insurance. We're just renting insurance for this period of time. Yeah. So like if, God forbid, your husband predeceases you and you're 50, you would have enough assets to be okay. But if it's in 5 years, he predeceases you and you'd stepped out of the workforce and you're doing a little bit of real estate, but not a ton of real estate, you may want to go back in to the workforce, right? So yeah, I would see what they are, but then I would also go into the marketplace and see what is available to you. Mm-hmm. But I would err on the side of it's really affordable at these ages to lock it in.
Yeah.
So, and you have the money to afford, you can afford it. So I would lock in a little bit longer of coverage than you think you need, with knowing that if you get to that number and you don't need it, you cancel it. But if you decide in the future you want more, it's harder and more expensive to get it because you have to have good medical to get the underwriting, and then it's more expensive the older you get.
Okay.
But yes, it's less about the kids at this point, because if you pass away, the kids have like $2 million each and they're babies. Yeah. It's more about protecting each other and preserving the lifestyle that you're trying to accomplish, which the lifestyle, as you pointed out earlier, is much more attainable and fast-tracked because of two incomes. And so I would keep that in mind when doing the insurance, is that this all works much better with both incomes, even one primary income and one supplemental income. It's easier with two.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then do you have a will?
This is like really bad. We started a will and trust before my daughter was born, and then we never finished the process, and we really need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like need tomorrow. I know.
Yes. Because if, God forbid, you got killed in a car accident, there's like literally three properties and over $1 million in assets, and you have babies.
I know. I keep telling my husband, because we actually talked with somebody and gave him all the information and like told him what we wanted to do and like talked to who we wanted to take the kids. And then we just never finished the process. So I know that's really important and it needs to be done like right now.
Yes,
I need to get on that this weekend.
Yes. Okay. So I would say your priority is, because you did a great job, you have all these assets, and what we don't want to do is have all this go through probate, because a one-year-old can't inherit a house.
Yeah. And the person, my family can't just afford to pay the mortgages. Like all the houses would be lost.
It would be very bad. So your number one priority is to get a plan in place of who is going to manage the money for the children, who is going to care for the children. It doesn't need to be the same person. So if you have someone
we've decided all of those with the person that's going to put the paperwork together. We just never finalized him doing it.
Please do the paperwork. Yes, you need to do the paperwork, because it would cost a fortune, and you put in a lot of hard work and effort to get to where you are, and it would be terrible that it got stuck in a court proceeding for years.
Yeah.
So yes, that's your priority. And then secondary, I would look at extending the term insurance more to preserve the lifestyle that you and your husband are trying to accomplish, which is significantly mm-hmm. easier with two incomes than one. Mm-hmm. And that's more about protecting each other, less about the financial security of the children, because you've already secured that.
Yeah.
And then from there, it's looking at whether you want to work two more years or four more years, knowing that four more years will allow for the 529 funding, partial funding. I don't think you need to do the full 35, because mm-hmm. remember, you start with 10 now, it'll grow. Yeah. The 529 and allow you to put more away for retirement. So that's kind of done, I would think, at that mm-hmm. point.
Yep. Perfect.
Okay. Amazing.
Four more years.
Four more years. It'll go quick. And I mean, here's the thing. You could really reevaluate it at 2 years and see what's happened and say, mm-hmm. okay, maybe the market did better than we thought. Maybe you never know. So you could just keep reevaluating it.
Yeah. If we could keep this run that we had during COVID. That would be great,
wouldn't it? I'm just hoping for my entire career the market just goes up. That would be wonderful. I doubt that.
Yeah, happen, right.
But, you know. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
And for all of our lovely listeners, if you like the show, please share it with a friend and subscribe. And you can follow us on YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram for our most up-to-date information. Time for our disclaimer. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. All performance references are historical and do not guarantee future results. Make sure that you consult with your own legal, tax, and/or financial advisor before making any decisions.
Gear Patrol just called their ISO-certified dive watch the best sub-$500 dive watch, full stop. And their ceramic watch material, almost magical. The Wall Street Journal called them iconoclastic cool, potentially redefining the industry itself. Who are we talking about? It's Movement. And they're leveling up your gift-giving with the biggest deals of the holiday season and the sleekest watches around. Shop 30 to 60% off Movement's variety of designs, colorways, and functionalities. From the thinnest automatic dress watch under $500 to waterproof guarantee adventure-ready sport watches to rare ceramics, Movement's got options for everyone on your list. Whether you're gifting for family, friends, or yourself, be the good gifter this year with Movement's huge site-wide holiday sales and enjoy the usual fast and free shipping. Shop 30 to 60% off now at movement.com. That's MVMT.com.